There are verses in the Bible that stand alone. What I mean by that is when you hear the verse, you just know what it means. You haven't got to read the verses around it. Be careful. Verses have a context. Amen? You got to know what's going on in the chapter before you just claim to know what's going on in the verse. But there are verses, of course, John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Whether or not you realize that that was Jesus talking to Nicodemus, that verse kind of speaks for itself, doesn't it? And anybody else got a verse that you just love that just jumps out in the Bible? The one I love is the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. There's lots of them. I won't go on. But anybody got one that you just really like? Yes, sir. Let's quote it if you can. The just shall live by faith. Very good. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir. Self-approved unto God. A workman needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Dantes, you got one? You can't have but one, brother. I'm kidding. No, go ahead. Okay. Do you know it? Oh, Jesus wept. Okay. And you know, that's interesting. We talked about that in high school Bible the other day. As to why would he weep, and it's a very fascinating verse. Anybody else? I got one here for you. Yes, sir? Do you know how it goes? Oh, the Philippian jailer. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Someone says, when did that fellow repent? He had already repented when he asked how to be saved. He knew he was a sinner on his way to hell, and he wanted to be saved. I don't want to miss anybody. Anybody else got one? Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Oh, that's good. That's good. That's good. Well, here's one that you've all remembered. You will at least remember it. It's the very last verse in my passage tonight. Romans 14:23, at the end of the verse, he says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Maybe not as exciting as some of the verses we just quoted, but sure powerful. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. How important is faith? We just heard, the just shall live by faith. We know that Romans says by grace are you, no, Ephesians says by grace are you saved through faith. But this verse jumps out off the page at me. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I don't want to spend too much time tonight, about 15 minutes, but I want to look at that thought. And let me just set it up and then I'll pray. There are some things that can guide us in life. For example, we've talked about a couple of those. If you want to know what to do, one of the questions might be, you might ask yourself, how is this going to have an effect on my ability to love and serve God? Somebody calls me and says, when I was in Salt Lake City, I worked for this manufacturing plant as a consultant while I was full-time at the church. And I had a full-time job at church and a 20-hour-a-week job as a consultant for this manufacturing plant. And the chief finance officer, the CFO, was in charge of the computer system, and he said to me, he said, if the computer goes down, can you come in immediately and fix it? And I said, yes, except not Sunday during church. He said, that's a problem. And I said, well, it's not my problem because I'm going to be in church. And he said, okay, you can be in church. And he was a Mormon, So anyway, and it never did go down on church, so that never became a problem. But the thought is, some things that are most important to you. Do you love the Lord? And so you're going to do some things because you love the Lord. And as you decide what to do in life, if it takes away your ability to love the Lord, then you can't do that. Well, this is another one here. Is it being done by faith? James, I believe it was, made the statement, we walk by faith and not by sight. In other words, when you decide what to believe. It doesn't matter whether you can see it or not. It's what the Bible says that counts. Amen? I've never seen heaven. We will. I know a lot of people that are already there. I've never seen hell. Don't plan to. Not worried about that. Except I think we'll get a glimpse as to what's happening in hell. A lot of things you can't see. But it doesn't matter, because if God said it, that settles it. Amen? So let me read a couple of verses here to set this thing up. We'll take a look at it for about 10 minutes. Talk about the standard of faith, or our standard based on faith is a better way to say that. But we're jumping into the middle of a discussion, and I need to kind of help you by starting a little earlier than I hoped to. So I told Matt I was going to begin in verse 16, but I'm going to go a little higher than that. Look at verse 14, Romans 14:14. He says, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there's nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. Okay, let's stop right there. So just remind you what he's talking about. This has to do with the differences of opinion between the Jew and the Greek. And the Jew says, you can't eat pork. And the Greek says, I love bacon. And the Jew says, you can't do things on Saturday. And the Greek says, I'm going to work on Saturday. And there's some things that are better examples. Like the Jew says, there's this holiday we're going to observe. And the Greek says, no, I don't care about that holiday. And so there's some matters of opinion here. And the truth of the matter is, folks, don't be shocked. It's okay to eat bacon. Amen? It's not that good for you, but it's not condemned anymore. That's an Old Testament thing. It's okay to eat catfish. Jews can't eat catfish because it doesn't have scales. You like catfish? Michelle doesn't like catfish. So I'm assuming frog legs are definitely out. Okay. So does rattlesnake. You like rattlesnake? It's okay. All right. Anyway, there was things that Jews couldn't eat because of the Old Testament law. That's over with. And so the problem you got here is there were some people that were Jews, and what they were saying is, you're offending me by eating bacon or by eating catfish or by doing things that I don't think you should do. And that's that. We talked about that already. There was a relationship between them, and that relationship guides us as well. All right, you got that settled. Let's keep reading here. He says, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. I'm in verse 17. He says, it's not, the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Verse 19, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherein one may edify another. And that's what we were just talking about, that our relationship with others is important. Verse 20, for meat, or because of meat, bacon or whatever, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for the man who eateth with offense. We'll get back to that. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. That's huge. Don't lose that thought. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Let me have a quick prayer. We'll spend about 10 or 15 minutes on this. Father, please give us understanding. Lord, many times we just don't even stop and think as we should about how things affect others. And it may be that we know something is not wrong, but for the sake of a brother, we need to remember that we need to be careful what we do. And I pray we would also remember when we judge others that it's difficult to judge their faith. And so help us to be careful with that. Give us wisdom tonight in Christ's name. Amen. All right, here's the thought. Just like loving God, or just like the way it affects others, those things can guide us. I would not do something to it intentionally, or if possible, even unintentionally. I would not offend one of you. I may know that you have a preference about something, and it's not a Bible thing, it's something else, and I would not offend you. It's just something that we want to try to. The Bible says, "As much as lieth within you, live peaceably." Amen. So we care about other people, and so we restrain ourselves from saying certain things or from doing certain things. If you knew that I was coming to your house and you knew that I thought it was wrong to eat pork, you wouldn't serve me ham, would you? And I wouldn't do. I'd do the same thing with you. I would. I know there's nothing wrong with ham. But if you have a problem with ham, we'll have chicken or we'll have something else. And that's the way we should be towards each other. Amen? So our relationship guides us even though something might not offend somebody or might offend somebody. I wouldn't offend them for sake of my relationship with them in Christ. Now, as we come along here, he talks in verse 19 about making peace or making for peace, things which make for peace. And he talks in verse 20 about not destroying the work of God and how indeed all things are pure, he says. It is evil for that man who eateth with offense. And that's kind of the key to the rest of the passage here. In other words, if you have a conviction, you need to listen to it. Amen? when I was in Salt Lake City, it's not nearly so hot as Arizona, but even here, you will never, ever, ever see me in a public place or wearing shorts, that hardly ever wearing shorts, period. And if I have them on, they're going to be knee length at least, and you won't see me in them, so don't worry about it. We had a group in Utah, and we were a high school group, and I told them, I said, hey, you guys that will memorize some verses and be faithful to attend Sunday school, I'll take you on a special trip. And we were going to go down to the Petrified Dunes in Moab and go mountain biking on the Petrified Dunes, which is one of the top mountain biking places in the country, I think. And we had a guy in our church named Joe Fong, and Joe Fong was an avid mountain biker. He was an engineer, sharp guy. And he said, I'll go with you and show you what to do, and I'll rent the bikes for you. So he rented the bike I paid for, but he went and got it. And so we went down to the Petrified Dunes, and I was wearing blue jeans, long, you know, full-length blue jeans. He said, aren't those hot? Yeah, but I'm not going to wear shorts. And I don't, if you want to wear shorts, that's fine. That's your business. And so he did. He was wearing knee-length shorts. We had gone 100 yards. Joe crashed his bike, hit his knee on a rock, and was done for the whole weekend. And later on, now, I'm not a good mountain biker at all. I fell down who knows how many times. And every time I'd fall down, I'd think, man, I'm sure glad I'm wearing blue jeans. It may be hot, but they sure did take care of my knees and my legs and made it through the whole weekend with those blue jeans. One of the guys that went with us, a high school student, is now the president of a Bible college back east. I'll tell you about him, Jerry Mitchell. He's at Fairhaven, and he went on that trip. But I had a standard. I know it's going to be hot. I know it's going to be difficult, but I'm not going to wear shorts in front of these high school kids. I just decided not to do it. Would it have been wrong? No. But I set that standard. I had that conviction. I wanted to do it that way. Let me ask you, do you have any convictions? Amen? Whew, too quiet. We have convictions, don't we? Things that we wouldn't do. I don't curse. I will not curse. I will not use the name of the Lord in vain. We all agree on that one, right? Okay, I'm not going to tell you a lie. I'll go out of my way not to tell a lie. If I can't answer a question, I'll say I can't answer that, but I'm not going to tell you a lie. I will not lie. I have a conviction about that. I'm going to be in church on Sunday. I got a conviction about that. You ought to have convictions, amen? That's what he's talking about here. What he says there, he says in verse 20, he says things are pure. He says, but it's evil for the man that eateth with offense. And he is interested in offense towards others. But keep going in verse 21. He said, it is good neither to eat flesh nor to drink wine nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. And so he just amplifies that we need to be careful not to offend one another. Now, we're almost done. Look at verse 22. He asks a question. Hast thou faith? Can I ask you tonight? Do you have faith? Amen. I hope you have faith. Oh, I got a verse for you. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to him must believe that he is, and he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen? By grace are you saved through faith. Faith is everything, folks. If you have faith, it will change your life. Why would you come to church on a Wednesday night? You say, Pastor, I could have rested. I could have gone and done something else. I could have gone shopping and so many things I could do. I really, truly believe this is where God wants me on Wednesday night. And it's a matter of faith. I see it in the Bible. And so that faith guides me. A little bit of faith. A grain of a mustard seed. Jesus said that could move a mountain. Lord, give us that kind of faith. Amen? You know what? The mountains are fine where they are. I don't need to move any mountains. I'd like to see some people moved. Amen? I'd like to see our nation moved towards righteousness. I'd like to see our community find Christ as Savior. I'd like to see 25 little children get saved in Vacation Bible School. The mountains can stay where they are. I kind of like looking over there at them instead of having them in my backyard, but I'd like to see some children get saved. Have you got faith? Amen? And then I like that prayer that one fellow said, Lord, increase our faith. Have you got faith, he says? Look at this in verse 22. Have it to thyself before God. That's an interesting statement. A couple of ways to look at that. Here's one of them. Your faith is between you and God ultimately, isn't it? Amen? Now, I got to ask you a question. If God makes a promise, should we believe him? If we don't believe him, we're calling him a liar, aren't we? So one of the things I do when I read my Bible is I see promises, 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 promises. Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. Jesus said, I'll provide all your needs according to my riches and glory through Christ Jesus. That was in Philippians. And so many promises in the Bible. And folks, I hope you have faith because faith plus promise equals result. And that's exactly what he's saying here. He says, your faith is between you and God. I haven't got to come, hey, Dantes, man, I got a lot of faith in God. You know, oh, you should see how much faith I've got in God, Dantes. That's ridiculous. He can see whether I have faith. He doesn't need to have me tell him. Because when I go to my closet and pray privately and have faith, God rewards me openly. Amen? And when you've got faith, you haven't got to tell other people you got faith. It's between you and God. So someone says, well, I'm going to eat bacon whether you like it or not because I have faith. Bad attitude. Bad attitude. Wrong application of faith. You may know bacon's okay, but your love for your brother is important as well. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. And then listen to this. This is good. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Let me read that again. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. Okay? You're going to have, I can see it right now in my mind. This morning I got up and my wife and I made breakfast for these kids before they left. And I cooked some bacon and they didn't eat it all. It's in my refrigerator right now. It may not last till morning. And I'm thinking to myself, I know where that bacon is. I know there's nothing wrong with eating it. And when I eat that bacon, I will not feel guilty. And in fact, I'll think, praise God, I'm saving my wife from these calories. Amen? And there's nothing wrong with eating bacon. I have no condemnation. In other words, I don't have to condemn myself. I know that's okay. And folks, there's a real interesting thought here. Sin makes you unhappy. When you do that you know is wrong, it makes you unhappy. Sometimes people are depressed because they're caught up in sin. Folks, if you'll do what's right, it'll make you happy. He says so right here. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And then verse 23, and I'm done. He says, he that doubteth is... Now, this word condemned and this word damned, he's not talking about losing your salvation. He's talking about that the sin is real. It's punishable. And damnation, of course, is a result of sinning and not being saved. But what he's saying is, it's sin. In other words, the simple thing to say is this. I'll just say it simply. You know what's right, don't you? How do you know what's right? You've been reading your Bible. You've been taught. And God's taught you. And you've learned in church. And you've been reading your Bible. And then also, you have a law written in your heart. That's earlier in Romans. And you know what's right. if you do what's right, you don't condemn yourself. God doesn't condemn you. You're happy. It feels good to be right with God. If you go do something you're not supposed to do, that robs you of your happiness. That makes you have to go back to God and confess your sin. You feel bad about it. And it's something that God has allowed you to have convictions about. Now, you got to be a little bit careful. I believe with all my heart, everybody here agrees it's wrong to lie, don't you? It's wrong to lie. So that's an easy one. But there are some things we might not agree on. I don't have to, as a pastor, I do in some ways, but as a church member, I don't have to make everybody else be right with God. I got a full-time job being right with God myself. And I can pray for you. Isn't it funny when, I've told you this story before, when you get saved and you get all this stuff in your life, and then God starts to show you, that's got to go, that's got to go, that's got to go. My friend Ralph came to me after he'd been saved about a year and said, Pastor, I have good news. God has convicted me to stop smoking marijuana. Wow, Ralph, that's good. I'm glad I didn't hear about that. Didn't hear about that 6 months ago. But God's working in your life, Ralph. The way we dress, the way we talk, the way we use our time, being faithful in church, whether or not we serve God. Folks, it is between us and God. Pray for the other person that God might allow them to grow, because once they get that conviction, then they'll change. And that's where we come to the last verse, and I'm done just in time. He says, he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. In other words, he doesn't have the faith that what he's doing is right, and so he is sinning. But he says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And again, you can take that and explode that and spend more time than I've got. But let me just tell you this. Anything you do that's not guided by faith is wrong. It's out of order. It's not what it ought to be. Salvation without faith is impossible. Amen? And so if you try to get saved by doing works, something that you can see, that's sin. You know, I quote the verse quite often, Romans 4:4-5. To him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth, that's faith, believeth, to his faith is counted for righteousness. And so all through the Bible, faith, 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 faith. The just shall live by faith. It's in the Old Testament a couple of times. It's in the New Testament. Faith is everything. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin in salvation and then after salvation. If we walk by sight, then what we're saying is, I've got to see it. Have you ever heard the term existentialism? Probably not. Existentialism, a couple of you may have heard that. Existentialism is an apostasy. It is the idea that if you can't see it, it's not real. Show me heaven, show me hell. Oh, well, then it must not be real. You know, the fact of the matter is, that's anti-God. You haven't seen God, but he's real. You didn't see the Holy Spirit, but he lives in me. He's real. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Turn it around. Whatsoever is of faith is not sin. Amen? So how do we live our life? Guided by faith. Sometimes we're not sure. We have to ask God, God, what should I do? But we know one thing. Anything God tells us to do is going to conform to the Bible, isn't it? Amen? Anything God tells us to do is going to conform to the Bible. The Bible is where we get our faith. The Bible is what shapes our faith. And the Bible is what gives me the guides that my faith provide me so that I can know what to do. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If you look at Peter walking on the water, his eyes on Jesus, he's walking on the water. His eyes off Jesus, he's walking by sight. And what happened to him? He sank. So let's just come up with one simple application and I'm done. How are you walking? By faith or by sight? How are you living? By faith or by sight? What guides you? Faith or sight? I got this toothache and I thought, I know this is not going to be cheap. And I don't have insurance right now. And I was thinking, this could be bad. I don't want to spend thousands of dollars that I don't really have to put into one tooth. And Michelle, it won't be that bad, by the way. And I got to thinking, wait a minute, who provides? God, amen? Did God know I was going to get a toothache? What's worse, my dentist retired. This guy's a brand new dentist. And I really, it's hard to find a good dentist. And I'm kind of by faith, I'm hoping this is the right guy. But then I thought to myself, you know what I got to do? I got to trust God. He's going to take care of me. And he did. Amen? And you know what? If that tooth breaks in half tomorrow and falls out, God will provide. What in your life are you looking at and you're saying, oh no, I see, wait a minute. Don't do that. Instead of seeing the problem like Peter saw the waves and the wind boisterous, how about taking your eyes off that and look at Christ? You say, I can't see him. You can't see him with these eyes. You can see him by faith. Amen? And trust him. Oh no, Pastor, what's going to happen? I don't know, but Jesus is in control. Oh no, Pastor, how are we going to provide for this or how are we going to do that? I don't know, but God does. Amen? Folks, let's have faith. If you won't, it's called sin. Amen? It's pretty easy. Trust the Lord. Listen to what he has to say. Believe what he says. And live by it. That's living by faith. Let's all stand and pray. Father, not a one of us in this room hasn't gone through times when we saw things that scared us or that concerned us or that worried us or that looked impossible or that looked horrible. And Lord, I know there have been many times when we have sinned by not having faith in you, and I pray that you'd forgive us for that. Lord, we know, having experienced this in life, that there are times when we will have to believe because nothing else will make any sense. And you will not allow us to see the answer until we have faith in you. And then you'll provide the answer. We've seen that happen in our personal lives. We've seen it happen in our churches. We've seen it happen in other people's lives. And God, sometimes we can't see at all what's going on. But we know that we can trust you. We know we can trust you in everything. The Bible says that in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes understanding, will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That's faith. God, help us tonight to remember how important faith is, how powerful faith is, and how valuable it is. And I pray you'd help us to live by it and to use it to guide our lives. Please bless our closing hymn, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Mr. Dahlman.